Bible passage is Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11. And if you're using the red Bibles in the back of the seats, it's page 950. So I'll just give you a second. Philippians 1, 3 to 11, page 950 in these ones. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Righto, let's pray as we look to this word together. God, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we ask that you, by your Spirit, would be teaching us this evening, that you'd be speaking to us, and would you, by your Spirit, open up our ears and our eyes, that we would see and behold, understand beautiful, important, true things out of your word, please. Would you be at work? Amen. So the picture here is one of fruit. And you know fruit. It's the result of something. It comes by a process. Fruit is what is produced. And we've been in this series of looking at church community, a community of love, and then so this week we're looking at together in fruitfulness. And so what we've got before us this evening as we consider these words from Philippians chapter 1 is, what kind of things does God want to be produced in our life? Like our Christian lives as disciples of Jesus, both individually and as disciples together, what kind of stuff? Like, what's the fruit that God is looking for? What's he wanting to produce in us? You know, and so we've got these words out of chapter 1 in Philippians. And so it was written by Paul, and he was writing this as a letter to the church in Philippi. And he's writing it from jail. And he starts his letter by saying, hey, this is to the church in Philippi. It's to the people in the church, but it's also to the leaders as well. And so it's for everyone in the church. It's good news for us too, because it's for everyone in that church, but it's also a timeless message. And so it's for everyone in our church today. And what we're considering is, what is Paul's prayer and what is God's desire for his people? So Paul, he starts by saying, I'm really thankful for you guys. I've been praying for you. And he says, I've got this great love for you. I've loved you with this affection of Jesus. And so it's like you get this sense of like there's this great overflow of love, like an abundance of love that Paul has got for this church. And then when we get to verses 9 to 11, which is just three verses, and that's all we're really concentrating on tonight, we get to see like exactly what is it that Paul has been praying. So he said, yeah, I'm thankful and I love you and I've been praying for you. And now we get to see, okay, what is Paul praying for? Like, what is Paul praying that would be produced in the life of these Christians? So straight up, He says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So if you place yourself in the shoes of Paul, right, or the sandals of Paul, maybe, and he's in jail, and you think, wow, if you're going to pray for another church, even one that you're connected to, like what kind of things would you be praying for? Praying for them as you are in jail. And what's the first thing that he prays for? It's love. That they would be abundant in love. That they'd abound more and more in love. Like, do you see the primacy of love here? How important it is. Like, that's the first thing that he's praying for. That your love may abound more and more. And so his prayer is that the community of believers, that they would be a people that grow in their love for each other. Like, that's the love that it's talking about, right? Like, love for one another. And it's not just affection for each other. Like, that's part of it. It's not just, oh, we feel feelings of love for each other. But it's also love in action. Like, they show their love for each other. And so that's the prayer. That's the prayer, the first part of the prayer that Paul has for these people. That they'd abound more and more in their love. That they'd grow in that, but not only would they grow in that, but also that they would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So that as they grow in their love for one another, they would also be growing in their knowledge of God. That as they love one another more and more and more, that they wouldn't just be growing in love for each other, but they would grow in how well they know God. And that their love would abound more and more as well in depth of insight. That they'd know more and more to a greater and greater degree, like what it is what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Like that they would have a deeper insight into just the beauty and the gravity of what God has done for them in Christ. That they'd really grasp the gospel. This so that there would be this growth in love and a growth in knowledge as well. And like that's a challenge for us as we read that. Like if that's what God wants for us too, like don't you think that's a challenge? Like to be a people who actively grow in our love for each other. Because we know that it can be so easy just to become complacent in not growing in love. Like it's really easy to just tolerate a lack of love in your life, isn't it? Like it's easy just to put at the back of your mind like the growing in love towards other people. Like we can tolerate unforgiveness happening in our heart, can't we? Or we can harbor bitterness towards others or just kind of normalize bad relationships or division, like whether that's in families or friendships or even here in the church. But the call is that God's people would be a people who grow more and more in their love, like they're actively seeking to love one another more. And you know, like and that's a struggle, right? Like because we all have people that we struggle to love well. You know, like I've got someone close to me in my life that I have struggled to love. And for many years, I really struggled with bitterness and harboring unforgiveness towards this person. And do you think Sheldon Holmes has what it takes to muster up like that kind of forgiveness or to fix the sickness of bitterness in my heart myself? Nuh-uh. Like, what did it take? What did it take for me to grow in love towards this person or to exercise forgiveness or to be rid of bitterness? It took a work of God in my heart because I'm not good enough or great enough to do that myself. Like, it took coming to know Jesus as my Savior for Him to do a work in my heart, for Him to transform me that I would grow in love. Like, once He opened my eyes that I was able to see, wow, you know what? Jesus has loved me even though I've been unlovely. Even though I'm unlovely, Jesus has loved me. That's what it took. It took seeing with greater clarity to have greater depth of insight, to see that, wow, even though I don't deserve forgiveness, Jesus has forgiven me. And do you know what? Like grasping the truth of what Jesus has done, like that transforms your heart. You know, and so I've changed. And so it's and so any good that comes from the Christian life or any growth that comes from the Christian life. It's not nothing that we muster up for ourselves or that we achieve through our own effort. It's a work of God Himself. It's a work of God Himself. And so because He's done that, we've got this desire, like our hearts have changed, that we want to be those who grow more and more in our love for one another. But not just love, but also in our knowledge of God Himself as well. Because we know that you can be a loving person and not know God, right? Like there are loving people out there who don't know God. And we also know that it's true that you can, like, I guess, like, kind of know God or know God-ish stuff, but have a lack of love as well, on the other hand. And both are terrible options. Both are terrible options. But what Paul's prayer is, and God's desire for us, for His people, is that we would be those who grow in our love for each other and grow in our knowledge of God, that we'd know Him more and more to a greater degree. And that's something that we struggle with too, isn't it? Like, how often do we actually intentionally seek to know God more? Like, if I'm honest, like, not enough. I know that's something that, like, probably all of us struggle with. Like, how often do we seek intentionally to know God to a greater and greater degree? And so, like, for some of us, like, that might mean, like, we've got to, I don't know, set an alarm on your phone for 3 p.m. on Thursday, and that's when you're going to pray, you know, because you want to know God more. Or for some of us, maybe it means putting something in the calendar, and that's when I'm going to spend some time in the Scriptures. But to actually take steps into saying, you know what, I'm going to set aside time because I want to know God more and more, not so that He loves me, but because He already has. And so this challenge for us as a Christian community is to be those who grow, as we grow in our love for each other, to also grow in our knowledge of God. And so, you know, as we, yeah, it's hard. It can be a struggle to love those that difficult to love, and it can be a struggle to at times to seek to know God more and more. But as I was thinking through this this week, I just wondered if, you know, often, like, pretty much every time we pray at the end of a message, but I just wondered if, like, it would be okay if we took, like, just a little break for us just to grab this moment here, for us to just ask the Lord to help us in growing in our love and our knowledge of Him. Is that okay? All right, little prayer break in the message. Lord, would You be at work in us, and would You be growing us and making us more like Jesus, please? Would You help us, Lord, to be those who willingly step out and forgive others because we know what it is to have been forgiven by You first, please? And Lord, would You keep doing that work in our heart, please, that the way that we live alongside one another, it would be shaped by what You've done for us in Christ. And Lord, we want to know You more. We really do. And things can just pop up and sort of get in the way. And so, Lord, I pray that You would be growing us and speaking to us. And would You be showing us and encouraging us, Lord, to encourage each other, that we would be a community that helps one another grow in our love for each other and in our knowledge of You. Not just knowing stuff, but experiential knowledge of You, Lord. We want to know You as we know a friend, please. Amen. You know, yeah, anyway, I was going to say something else, but that's fine. So that You may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So Paul has just written, like, what he's been praying for, Like, these are the things I've been praying. And now we get to the purpose of it. So, like, why should we want to be those who grow in our love for each other and our knowledge of God? And he says there, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So you may be able to discern what is best. So you'd be able to figure out that you'd know what is best. And if I understand this right, it's this desire of God that we would know what really matters in life, that we'd be able to discern what is best. As we love one another, grow in our love for each other, and as we grow to know God more and more, we would be able to discern what is best, to know what really matters, what really counts in this life. Because so much of our view is like so narrow and focused on the here and now, where we just love our comfort and whatever. Like, where do we spend our time and our energy and our effort? And it's all right here and now. Like, what captures our hearts? Like, is it the eternal or is it the right here and now? And here we've got this eternal perspective, don't we? Like, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That's when we stand before Christ, right? When we stand before God, that we may be pure and blameless. Like, that's talking of this holy work that Christ has done for us. That we would be able to stand before him and say, you know what, like, we've pursued this purity, the way that we have sought to love one another and grow in our knowledge of God. Like, we haven't had these mixed motives as we've gone about it. And that we've been not just pure, but blameless as well. Like, you haven't been the reason for somebody else's sin. You haven't caused somebody else to stumble and trip. That you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And you've spent time and energy and effort on what really matters. One of my favorite poems is Wooden Heart by Dan Smith. And the poem is inspired by the tale of these villagers who come together to grab the wood from a shipwreck to build a church, which is a beautiful picture, right? And there's a shipwreck on the shore and they use the wood to build this church. And part of the poem, it says, if we hold on tight, we'll hold each other together and not just be some fools rushing to die in our sleep. Wow. If we hold on tight, we'll hold each other together and not just be some fools rushing to die in our sleep. You hear that? Like, as they hold one another tight, as they love one another, as they love one another and they love God and they know him, as they spend time on what really matters, they've got this eternal perspective, right? Like, they're not going to be just some fools rushing around to die in their sleep. And how many of us are like that? Like, we just love the here and now and we expend ourselves and our effort and our hopes and our loves and everything just on the here and now, only for the hope that, oh, one day maybe I'll have this comfy passing away in my sleep. And what a waste. When we're called to grow in our love for one another, in our knowledge of God, and we've got each other to encourage one another in that. You know, And this also requires a work of God. Like, he's got to do this work in our heart where our desires have changed. Because, like, how easy is it for us to just ignore or forget the fact that one day we're going to die and stand before God? Like, we're going to stand before him. And the picture is one of this. Like, he wants us to have this beautiful, fruitful, full life because we've spent ourselves for Jesus and we've loved well and we've lived the kind of life our Savior has lived, because we've called ourselves Christians and, like, we've been trying to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, not so that he loves us, but because he already has. And it's this picture that, yes, we've spent our lives focusing on what really matters. We haven't just been some fools rushing around to just for the hope of dying in our sleep. You know, and so, like, this confronts us with this question of, like, all right, like, how is our love going? You know, like, are we growing in our love? Are we growing in the way that we know God? Like, what would it look like even over the next week if we just like went all out for like, let's just spend ourselves on what really matters? Like, if he would give us wisdom and we would know what really counts in life, like, what would change even in this week? Or even if we exerted our efforts in pursuing purity and blamelessness, like not in our own strength, but in the strength that he gives, because out of response to what he's done, like we want to be those who are fruitful for his name, because we don't want to be found as fools just rushing around to die in our sleep. Last verse. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so the picture there is that those who are found on the day of Christ, pure and blameless, they're filled with the fruit of righteousness. Like they've had the life that God is looking for in his people. Like they've lived their lives for Jesus. They've been the ones who have given themselves to Jesus. They're the ones who've surrendered to him. Like they're the ones who've said, no, like I'm not the one who's Lord over my life. Jesus is Lord instead. And they're filled with the fruit of righteousness. And one of the commentators that I read like pointed this out, that often in the New Testament, like we see the phrase like bearing fruit. And here it's a little bit different, isn't it? It's not bearing fruit that are found on that day, filled with the fruit of righteousness. And the writer made this point that in order to be found filled with the fruit of righteousness, like we want to be those who start bearing that fruit now, don't we? And does it come through any good that we do on ourselves? Like, does it come through, like, strict religious effort? And if we're good enough or holy enough or we do this, and definitely not that, like, then have we, like, grown this fruit of righteousness ourselves? No. And Paul's super clear. The fruit of righteousness, where does it come? It comes through Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus, like, using the parable of the vine one time. He said, like, I'm the vine and you guys are the branches. He's like, like, if you abide in Jesus, like, that's where the fruit comes from. He's the one who gives the growth. It's just sticking with him, abiding in him. And he's the one that does the work. So can we boast? Like, any good that comes from your Christian life, any good deed that you do, like, can you be self-righteous about it and say, yeah, that's me, I'm totally awesome? No. Any good that comes, it's just totally a work from God. And it's to the glory and praise of God. So we can't boast. Like, it's all for his glory. It makes him look good because you're one of his people. You know, I took our car this week to the mechanic for a service and rego check. And when I was there, the guy running the shop said, see him? He's our new apprentice. This kid had started an apprenticeship. He said, look at him. Doesn't he look good? And I thought, well, yeah, I guess so. And he said, look, we've given him a hat. And this apprentice was wearing a hat, and the hat had the business's name on it. And the guy running the shop said, yeah, and we've really put him to work this week. And I thought, wow, what a picture. Because notice what I presume hasn't happened. He hasn't said, okay, kid, like, now go and do these jobs. And if you carry this out and you're good enough, then we'll give you the appointment of apprenticeship. Like, that's what we'll call you. Or if you carry out this and you do a good enough job, we'll give you the hat that shows that you belong. Like, the sense that I really got was like, he's just started, and they've appointed him and they've given him a hat, and now this kid is to go out and work from that place of belonging and know who he is. And I thought, wow, like, isn't that the same as us with Jesus? That it's not a case of, all right, if I try to be good enough and if I do these things and try really hard to bear fruit in my own strength and I just try to do it all on my own, like, then hopefully God will accept me. Or hopefully then, if I'm good enough, I've been able to deserve forgiveness. Like, I could purchase that myself. When what we see in the scriptures is the opposite. That the moment you have turned from sin and trusted in Jesus, like the moment that you've confessed your sin and you've given it to Jesus, do you know what happens? Like the scriptures say that he gives us his righteousness, like his right standing before God. He gives that to us as a gift. Like he gives us that forgiveness. He gives you that for the moment that you believe in him, that you turn from sin and look to him in faith. Like he's the one who gives you that appointment of being, you are now called righteous. You are now called forgiven. You're made right with God. You've been reconciled to God in heaven through Jesus. He's done that for you. He's given you the hat of belonging. You belong to him. And so now, from that place, go and live for him. Seek to love one another well and seek to know God more and more to a greater degree, not from a place of anxiety where, wow, I hope that God will approve of me now. No, but because he already has through the work of Jesus. And we've got this freedom, this joyful freedom to obey him and live for him because we love him to the glory and the praise of God. It's the work that he does. You know, I remember, this is a bad story. I remember bits of an ad on TV from when I was a kid. I remember bits of an ad. Have you ever heard a story, a good story that starts like that? Anyway, I remember bits of a TV ad. It was for shampoo, and these are the bits I remember. I remember certain words. Pantene, Pro-V, Vitamin B5, I remember that. And I remember that there was also something about a Swiss Institute for Vitamins that backed up the product, which is definitely a place that exists in the real world, I'm sure. Anyway, in this ad, they made all these promises, right? You use our shampoo. Your hair's going to be beautiful and shiny and strong and less frizzy, presumably. But in these series of ads, they would end the exact same way with this tagline, right? And so the model would look down the camera and say, "It won't happen overnight, but it will happen." That's what it'd say every time. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. So what are they saying there? They're saying, you might wake up tomorrow morning and your hair might still be frizzy, but trust the promises. Trust the promises. Trust us at our word that even if you don't see immediate results tomorrow, trust that it will happen. You know, the picture that we've been looking at this evening is one of fruit. We know that most of the time fruit doesn't just appear overnight, right? There is a planting, a watering, a growth, a harvest. And the challenge for us is even if we wake up tomorrow morning and we don't feel any different than today, the challenge is to trust God at his word, that he is at work in our lives as we seek to know him more and more, as we hand over our lives to Jesus. Like we remember he's given us his promised Holy Spirit. He's promised to never leave us. And as we stick with him, he's the one who refines us and makes us more and more like Jesus, bearing fruit for his name. You know, like earlier on, like in the Bible reading that we had tonight, like, you know, Paul even mentioned the good work that God is doing, like may he carry it to completion. And so we've got this encouragement, don't we? Like God is more trustworthy than the good people at Pantene, I assure you. Even if we don't see immediate fruit, the call is to trust God at his word and at his promises. He's going to carry this good work to completion. Let's seek to love one another well and seek to know him and to do it in the strength that he provides, knowing that we belong to him through Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, you are so good and kind. You've given us your Son who has loved us with the abundant love that we could never muster up ourselves. And we ask, Lord, that you continue that work in our hearts as we stick with you, that you would make us a more loving people, Help us, Lord, to know you more. We want to know you more. We totally do, because we love you. And would you, like, so be at work in us, not just individually, but us together. And would you help make us a people, Lord, who encourage one another in love and encourage one another in knowledge, Lord. Help us, Lord, with discernment, that we would spend ourselves, our time and effort and love and energy on what really counts in this life. And would you give us an eternal perspective, Lord, that there's way more to life than just the here and now and what we've got before us. And we ask, Lord, humbly, that as we stick with our Savior Jesus, would you bear beautiful fruit for your name? Would you help us to be those who are filled with the fruit of righteousness, not because we're super great or anything, but because you are and we belong to you. We ask this in the name of our beautiful Savior Jesus. Amen.